You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you. Thank you. Make it your time so that we are the beneficiaries of your mind and heart and your outwork, the outworking of your goodwill. Thank you very much for your personal presence, involvement, your saving grace. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. We have shared together a little bit the turn of the year to try to remind ourselves of our wonderful, wonderful inheritance, our wonderful, wonderful being heirs, joint heirs, and the life that God intends us to have here and now that He has made possible for Him to be honored and glorified. So, as we share together in the process, you need, when a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, God saves them in a most wonderful way because God has gone and died on the cross for each one of us, for all people. He paid the penalty, the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. He died, not for him. He died because we were facing death, not only were we dead in sins, but we would have no life, and we would face eternal death. Death is the absence of life. Death is separation from God. Simple. Now, so here we are, and God in your presence, in God's awesome person, and God, thank you. And I would remind you, lest you forget, that if I took away your physical bodies, if I could magically go zip, and your bodies would all be gone, would you still be here? Use your imagination. You're still there. We just can't see you. The reason we can see you is because you're in this physical body. Take away the physical body. You're still there. We just can't see you. You're invisible from an earthly perspective. God, you're invisible from an earthly perspective. God, here we are, to have a relationship to you. Now, in that relationship that we're to have, God designed us for it. He made us for it. Male and female created him in his likeness and image. Now, and remember we share together, going directly if I can, in the light of the fact that we're bought with a price. We are not our own. God paid a price, purchased us on Calvary's cross, by way of his precious blood, he redeemed us and made it possible for us to come to God having a full pardon in the light of our sin and being able to be fully purchased by him. He would have the total, absolute ownership of that which he died for. That's us. And that he would possess us. And that's what we're looking at. God, we got the purchase part a little. We understand, God, you had to purchase us and to possess us. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just reading it again, verse 17. Therefore, if any man, boy or girl, man or woman, be located where? In Christ Jesus, They are a new creation. All things are brand new. Not Jew, not Gentile, male, female, they're brand new. They're part, they're his body. All things are passed away. All things have become new, new. Now, God, we share that together. If you didn't get that, think of Revelation chapter 21. The heavens are all going to be made new, and everything else is going to be passed away. Gone. Gone. All things, when you get come to know the Lord as your Savior, God takes everything from Adam, we're all in the line of Adam. In Adam's sin, we sinneth all. Here we are. And God takes all of that and crucifies it on the cross. He has to crucify all of you from top to bottom, from the day you're born to the day you die. As long as your mind works and your heart is there and you have an old nature, that has to be taken care of. When Christ died on the cross, he took all of that that you and I possess and crucified it. How much is left of your life? Past is all gone. He took it. Your future in this body is all taken care of, crucified. If it isn't, you couldn't be saved. Because what he did, he'd have to do something more. He did it completely to save you to the uttermost. Completely. Totally. That's what new means. Old has passed away. So as far as God's concerned, from the birth to the death to all of that which is dead in sin, all of that which is alienated from the life of God, which is missing the life of God, he crucified. He's done with it. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new in Christ Jesus. Now that's a fact. That's reality. And all you can do is believe it. Believe it. But if you don't believe it, you don't enjoy it. In fact, if you don't believe anything, you don't enjoy things you don't believe. You have to believe. You have to be related. Now, God, you made us wonderfully, wonderfully a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we shared together over to Ephesians chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1, I would remind you, this relationship that is new. So you and I are very conscious of the old. We're conscious of our life, our words, our thoughts, our deeds, our memories, all the things that we anticipate and worry about tomorrow. All of those things are part of us. But when God looks at you, in order for you to enjoy his wonderful provision, he doesn't see any of that. If he did, we couldn't have it. We have to understand it. He died on the cross and forgave us how many, Colossians, how many sins did he die for? All of your sin, so that as here you are, all of your sin is taken care of. And that's a fact. And we are to walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansing us from all sin. And we know, if we say we sin, 1 John 1, 8 and 10, we make him a liar. We are sinners. But God has forgiven us. Forgiven us. And when we come up against it in the reality of the real daily existence, we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But it's all new. It's all forgiven. If it isn't forgiven, you can't be saved. It's all done. And God looks at it as forgiven. And you and I live in it, but we aren't looking at it. We understand Jesus Christ died for me, for everything in me, left hand, right hand. He died for me in totality in order that I might enjoy newness of life. So God, you aren't going to look at my old nature. No, you crucified it. I'm to look at you, Christ in you, the hope, Christ in me, to enjoy what? You're a new creature, a new creation. You have a unique, wonderful, personal relationship to who God you are. Wow. Simple. Do you believe that? It's all done. What I just told you is a fact, biblical fact. It's real. Here we are sitting here, those of us who are saved. We're sitting here. And God, it's all finished. It's all wonderfully finished. You're new. And that's how you're to proceed. We walk by sight or by 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. We have to believe. That's right. God, you said it 5,000 times. Believe, 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 believe. I told you to believe. Otherwise, it's real, but you have to believe. Think of 2 Corinthians 4 and that, 16 and that. Where the things, we're living in a perishing body, a perishing world, where everything deteriorates and goes downhill, thermodynamics and all of that, and in the process. And all of that goes downhill. It's all deteriorating. Pyramids deteriorate. Everything does. That's right. But God, you've made it possible for us to have a unique relationship to you who never deteriorates. You're always the same. And you're going to make a new heaven and a new earth. But in the meantime, you've made us new. And we need to understand that so that we walk, Romans 6, you have to turn there, Romans 6, 4, walk in newness of life. Whose life? Your life. That's what it's about. Rather simple, awesome, clear cut. Just have to understand it. Now the reality is, we look at our hands and we feel our heart, everything, and we look at our job, our home, everything we get our mind caught up in, thought process, and we get all caught up in that. So that we lose out. Now, therefore, Ephesians, God, in this newness, verse 22, and God hath put all things under his, that's Christ's feet, and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, that's us sitting here, believers, which church? The believers in the body, believers that are believers, which is his body. Now, new creature, his body. I'm trying to get it. And here's the local assembly in Ephesus. And they are to understand the full, in verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, God, you are going to go. And Christ is going to provide his wonderful life for the whole body of believers that represent him. And the body of believers, us believers here, the believers represent him. Therefore, they have to what? Reflect his life. The head gives the life to the body. The body shows the life to the world. The life of the body is from the head. The head is full of life in the fullness of God, and God in his fullness is in the body. Has to be. So therefore, you have to have how much of God? All of God. You can't have partial, you don't have piecemeal. God, you're a wonderful person for our person. That's right. And in the light of that, Ephesians, and having looked at that and conscious of that, God's wonderful thing, over to Colossians. Let me just, all I'm doing is locking in. I may be wrong, but I think it needs locking in. I don't think the average believer enjoys being the believer that they are. I don't think so. It isn't showing up. So, here we are in Colossians, and note, if you would, Colossians, God's going to say it again to each of the assembled body churches in Colossae chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in Christ Jesus, is all of God. Christ is God in Christ, Christ in God. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost. Verse 10. And you, believers, are complete. The little word complete is the word full in verse 9. You are complete, full. Where are we full? In Christ, in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So God, we enjoy a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful relationship to you in a most awesome way, and we enjoy you in your fullness. So you aren't stingy at all. Everything you do is multiplication, and greatness, and unmeasurable, above all that we can ask or think, always, because you're God. Therefore, being a new creature in all of his fullness, and you aren't far away, over to Galatians. All I'm doing is repeating and trying to get it locked in. You have to believe, that's all. Doesn't make any difference. It is so. And if you're going to believe anybody, I'd believe God. Now, of all the people in the world, history, make believe you're a historian, and here's all the people from Adam all the way down to where we are. Now, of all the people in the world you could read about, who are you going to trust for your journey to heaven? It certainly isn't Muhammad. Mary Baker, Glover Patterson Eddy, not her. Nope. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the one. Prove it. I died according to the scriptures. I was buried, and I rose again. And you've got an empty tomb that you can't answer. And I am only going to show to an unbelieving world my resurrected life in whosoever's that would believe. Just you guys. Anywhere, boy, a girl, man, a woman, that would allow me to be God. And I'm going to give them who are in a state of death a state of life. Whose life? My life. And I'm going to show it. That's what this is all about. That's what local church is. It's supposed to be an emphasis to what? That God happens to be God. He means what he says and says what he means. Wow, absolutely. And if you're going to trust anybody, why don't you consider me, said the Lord. I'm the only God there is. I'm going to tell you I'm the only God. I'm going to tell you I'm the only Savior. I'm going to tell you that. Now, what's the big problem? Oh, who knows? There is no one to know. Either you know or you don't. You leave me, take away the Lord Jesus Christ out of your life, out of the picture. What have you got? Darkness and death. And with all the wonderful history and the wonderful things of people, pyramids and everything, you got it all there. But what have you got? Nothing. There's no one there. And if I don't put him back in the picture, I have nothing. So God, what have you done in the most wonderful way? I've made it possible for you to have no contradiction, no confusion. I want you to know I'm the only God and the only Savior. All the flowers, bugs, birds, bees, beasts, and you in your own body. Bear testimony to my wonderful, creative, wonderful person. And all of creation bears witness, science, geology, radiology, whatever you want to go. All of it bears super duper consistent evidence that if there isn't a creator, there is no way this could exist. It'd be all a dream, image, but it is not. It's real, wonderfully, wonderfully real. Aha. And God, all we got to do is understand that and look to you. So in your wonderful fullness, you want us to know that we're new creatures in Christ. Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ. That's what happens to every believer. When you get saved. Now, this is a wonderful truth for believers, but they need to come to know the Lord as their Savior. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by, in the faith, the object, where is your faith? In the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to look to you with all our heart, and you have given us a wonderful, wonderful relationship that you have made possible in a most awesome way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 2, picking up, if I may, in thought, Philippians chapter 2, may I go to verse, oh, you know it, I'm going to pick it up if I can, verse 11. Well, I'm going to go to verse 10. 2:10, a little more context. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue, every one that has a tongue, that's humans, should confess, should say that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, now everyone's going to have to bow down. You all have to end up when you're all done. You're going to be here or there. You're going to have to acknowledge God is God. He's the only God there is, the only Savior. It's obvious, here we are, we ought to believe. Well, God said, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe, Hebrews 11:6, that he is, and he is a rewarder of them, a payer in full of those that diligently seek him. How can you seek God and not find him? If you seek God with all your heart, you have to find him. Because that's the way it is, you know. Wow. Now, in the light of that, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence, also only in, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, you can't work out anyone else's. You can only work out your little heart. We shared that before. You stand all alone. All alone. I remind you, you're all alone. And all of the relationships you have to humans, father, mother, husband, wife, brother, sister, business, politic, whatever you want to go, all of the relationships you have to life in life are not connected to you. You're disconnected. You're disconnected. You're not connected. No, you're not. You're all alone. Even in marriage, you can stand here and I can go out here. We can go out here. We aren't connected. Nope. God made it so that you're all alone. Why? He made you for himself in his image and likeness. Genesis 1:26 and 27. He made you for himself. And no one else can have you. You're not made to have another connection to something else somewhere forever. Nope, you're made forever to have a connection to Him. He's the only creator. He's the one that died on the cross. He is the one that owns. He's the one that calls the shots. And therefore, work out your own salvation. You can't work out anybody else's. So don't sit and try to do that. Now, and the reason you're going to work out being saved, you're a new creature in Christ, all your sin is forgiven, you've been made, given wonderful opportunity to have an awesome life, you're going to have God's uncreated life, God's wonderful person in the person of Jesus Christ living His life, a relationship. You're alive, He's alive, you're alive, and He's alive in you. And I'm able to enjoy a wonderful, wonderful relationship called eternal life. Now, and all of that requires God. You can't do it. It's God's life. It's God's Son. It's Christ, the Son of God, who saved me. I can't do it without God. God, it's your life. Christ, who is our life, Colossians. That's right. Now, therefore, verse 13, for it is God which worketh, where? In you. What for? Both to will and to do of His good, good pleasure. It is God's pleasure to outwork His wonderful life in you. Whose life? His life. I try to tell you, remind you. It's His life that's going to work out, not your life. No, you're going to work out a relationship to Him. You have a relationship to work, to home, family, different things you try to work out. Well, you have one that's an awesome relationship to the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, God. God is your life. Wow. We have earthly terminal things that are all going to end. We bring nothing into the world. We for certain will take nothing out of the world. So it isn't anything in the world, not at all. No. So therefore, God, you're going to outwork your wonderful life in us. That's right. Now hang on to that, and you know all that. Now, having said that, and show God, you're going to show your wonderful love, and you're going to outwork what? Verse 13, you're going to outwork your will and your work and your pleasure. God, it is your pleasure, it is your delight, your desire to outwork your work. You're going to outwork, you're going to demonstrate your wonderful life in our relationship, in our work, literal work. Literal work we do. We do literal work. You have to do it to make a living and different things. But it isn't about that. It isn't about your job. When you get saved, it is no more about your job. It isn't anymore. I share that with you. You won't find that. God terminated that. That doesn't mean you don't work. It doesn't mean you don't do everything. Because you know what? Whatever you do in word or deed, to do what? To the glory of God. So we live an ordinary life in an extraordinary way. His life, eating, drinking, sewing, working, going to school, driving the car, doing the laundry. That's what we do. We do it how? As sons. We're saved. And the world look and say, well, no one sees. Ah, angels, the good guys and the bad guys, boy, they're paying attention. They're paying attention. No one else may be, but they are, that's for sure. So now, here we are going. And God, you're going to show your work and your grace. That's how we live. It's your grace. It isn't because we merit something or we earn something or we're good and you're going to save us so that we can be a good mathematician. No. Mathematician may need to be, but that isn't why you're saved. You're saved from death to life, to have a unique, wonderful relationship to God, and to be a child of God, to be a son of God, to be able to say, as you could in the human sense, my father. My father, Aaron F. Parsons, my father, passed on. He gave me physical birth so that I could have spiritual birth. He isn't my father ever again. only historically. Only historically. God's the Father. Forever. Forever. Wow. Now, keeping that in mind, so here we are looking at God. It isn't about work. No. It's not about school. School's all good, and depending on the industrial society, and whether you're jungle or industrial society, wherever you live, you have to have some kind of adjustment to live in the community and the society. And so, God, it isn't about school. No, we go to school. It isn't about your health. You're genetically and heretically and all of that, your immune system, you've got all different stuff, you know, and it isn't about that. Don't make it about that. Well, my, it isn't about that. My sister, back to sister, she had all kinds of things in many different ways. I couldn't even tell you a list. She had them. But bless her heart, she knew the Lord as her Savior. And illustration, it isn't about your health. You can inherit whatever, hands, no hands, short hands, whatever. It's about your relationship. It isn't about your body. It isn't about it. So when you get saved, God makes you a new creature. Work is, we go to work, but it isn't an issue. School isn't an issue. Your body isn't an issue. Health isn't your issue. Wealth isn't your issue. I know we need a dollar. You can't go to McDonald's without a couple of dollars. You got to go. But it isn't about that. It isn't about money. That's why you and I, believers, don't have to sweat about, did you win the $7 zillion library? Library. That's, I'd buy a library. Would you go and get a lottery? It isn't about lottery. I don't have to go to lottery. Why would I go to lottery? I watch them. People come out and they're busy. I don't know what they're scratching. They buy a piece of paper and go out the door and they sit and scratch it. You'd think they just paid for it. Why would they go and ruin it and scratch it like that, you see? Why would they do that? Wow. Now, you don't have to do that. Your life isn't based on wealth, health, or anything. You are able to be, enjoy a wonderful being, a new creature. Are you or are you not saved? Are you or are you not a new creature? Are you or are you not forgiven? And it's true. So I don't have to sweat. I'm sweating about my job. I didn't get a raise this year. Well, then whatever. It isn't about that. It doesn't matter whether you're a floor sweeper or a prince. It doesn't matter at all. You do the best you can as you can in the light of the day in which you live, and you do it. And you just want to be content with whatever. If you're a doctor, be a doctor. If you're a dentist, be a dentist. If you're a floor sweeper, be a floor sweeper. Nothing like that. Wow. Wow. A colonel asked me the other day when I was in a meeting. Colonel said, now tell me about when I was in the service a little bit. And he said, now, what were you again? I said, I was a floor sweeper in the service. I swept the floor so everyone would walk and keep it clean, actually. Actually, they don't sweep floors there, etc. But you got the idea. That's what you do. You know, what can I do? I remember this has nothing to do with anything. The first job I had in the service, you know, I went on the Coast Guard cutter, down, and then down went, and then some guy said, now, I want you to put your bunk in, put your stuff, I want you to come with me. And I went with him down to the kitchen. And there was a little, if you can just imagine, a Coast Guard cutter, 327 feet, a little longer than a football field. And in the process, this little room, and with big bags of potatoes. And he said, peel them. And that's what I did. I went in and sat down and celebrated my first day in the ship peeling bags of potatoes. That's what I did. Wow. It doesn't matter. it doesn't matter. It's just you want to stay healthy, wealthy, and wise. And only God does that. Only God does that. And that's how you survive. And if God wants you to be the head of the CEO of some company, God will have it if God wants that. But God doesn't want to violate His word. You're a believer. And I'm not doing anything to lose. I'm a new creature. And I'm not going to forfeit that for anything. Wow. So now, having that little bit in mind, and keeping that, if you would, over to Philippians and in chapter 3. Philippians in chapter 3. And you will notice, we shared it. I'm going to quickly get through it to where I want to go, but a little bit anyway. Philippians chapter 3, picking up the thought. Remember, Paul has wonderful, wonderful earthly credentials. As a Jew of Jew of all Jews, a Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews, he was rich, he was a Roman citizen, etc., etc. Now, so when it comes to verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things, what's missing? Nothing. All things, but loss, yeah, they aren't the issue. Don't make them the issue. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, waste, refuge. Why? That I may win Christ. It isn't my, are you trying to preserve your old life? Say, I'm only 20, I'm only whatever, and I'm working, I'm going to make my life. That's your old life. And if you're saved, you have a new life. But we get busy, saved, we go to church, and we do the stuff. You know, it's typical, traditional church going and Protestantism, etc. And we get all of that, and we do that. We go to church, that's what we do. And we church is a spoke in the wheel, and we have business and home and health and wealth and family and all of the spokes. But no. When you got saved, God made you brand new and made you part of His body in a unique way. Here we are sitting here for God to make that all happen. That's right. Now, here we are sitting here to have that all happen in a most wonderful way. And God, you're going to do that to make that come to pass. Now, in the process, and anything in the, everything, all the other things that would disturb and disrupt it are dung, they're waste. Why would I get tied up in something about that? You may have a PhD in something, good. But that isn't the issue. That isn't the issue. Thank God you got all those different things. But that isn't the issue. So don't make it the issue. Because then you make that the issue, and it isn't about being a new creature anymore. It's about your job. It's about your PhD. It's about something else. And not about God. What happened to God? What happened to His wonderful person? I thought He did a wonderful thing in your heart. Did you ever let it happen? Wow. That's what we want to find out, God. Therefore, they're all dung. Sliding over to verse 12. For not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after. I am hard pressed. I am pursuing. I am pursuing it like a lion pursues the antelope. I am pursuing. What for? Verse 12, that I may apprehend. The word apprehend to grab hold of, to possess, to have ownership of. Wow. That I may apprehend what? Which also I have dreams and aspirations about what I'd like to do? No. What did you apprehend? What did you discover? God has a wonderful plan for your life. And you want it. And you woke up to the fact that being saved wasn't just going to church and being baptized and boom. It isn't that. It's about living. It's about life. Wow. And so God, here we are looking. And God, So we just read it, Philippians 2:13, for it is God which in you with to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, what is that? To outwork. God, you have a wonderful thing. I don't know, if I sat down and gave you all a piece of paper and said, write down what you want most to be, whatever, if you can still be something, even in your dreams, and write it, I'm going to write it down. You're going to write something down? And you all write it down. Ready? Everyone, here comes the paper. And everyone's going to write down what they want most to be and to have. To be and to have. Now, now take a look at it. And now look at what God has said. I have made you a new creature. And it is my plan and my will for your life. Not yours. Now, whatever you write down, see if you can match being a new creature in Christ, having everything brand new in the fullness of God, having the forgiveness of sins, being able to have all of that, look at your little plan and your dreams for your life and your family and everyone, and then look at God's. Now, which one do you want to shoot for? And the world chooses 7 billion plus, more or less. People do what they do. But oh, to find a believing heart. That's the issue. To find a believing heart. I'll read verse 12 again. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. But I follow after. I am in pursuit. That, and pursued after, if that, and that's my motivation, that, not, that's not my goal, that's my motive. What's your motive? I'm looking for what? God's wonderful, I want to apprehend, I want God's will, I want to lay hold of, I want to have God's wonderful will for my life. And you know in Ephesians, you aren't far away over there, and we'll have to close with that, Ephesians. And in chapter 2, and in Ephesians chapter 2, you would recall, what does God have in mind? Well, before you were ever created, God had in mind you. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created, where? In Christ Jesus. Why? Unto good works. Whose good works? Which God hath before ordained, prepared, that we should walk in them. Walk by faith and not by sight. God, that's your plan. It is. How many believers exercise that? Therefore, no one's doing it. Why should you do it? Why should you believe it? Why should you do anything? No one else does. So why don't? We lose. We lose. Wow. Do you know, though no one can go back and make a brand new start, but anyone can start now and make a brand new end. You can't fix the beginning. But boy, can you fix the ending, how you end. I want to finish. I may have goofed and loused up. I think of dear, you don't need to say it, our dear friend over there and whatever, used to say, why did I have to wait so long to get saved? Why? I said, isn't it good you got saved? And isn't it good God waits? If God didn't wait, where on earth would we be? No, God waits. Now, so therefore, a poem. In the light of that, God, you want us to run? I do. Got to look to, how are we going to do it? We got to look to you, God. It ain't going to be out of us. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in us. I'm following after you, God, in order to what? I want to lay hold of what you have for my life. You created me. for your honor and glory. You created me not to live 10 years or 20 years or 50 years or 90 years on the earth. You created us for your wonderful eternity. We're made for that. Wow. God, we just have to pursue it. Far out at sea, at close of day, a lonely albatross flew by. We watched him as he soared away, a speck against the glowing sky. Thought I, this lordly feathered one is trusting in the faithfulness of wind and tide, of star and sun. And shall I trust the maker less? O soul of mine, spread wide thy wings. Mount up, push out with courage strong. And like a bird which soaring sings, let heaven vibrate with my song. Spread wide thy wings, O soul of mine, for God will ever faithful be. His love shall guide thee. Winds divine shall waft thee o'er the troubled sea. Though dangers threaten in the night, though tides of death below thee roll, though storms attend thy homeward flight, spread wide thy pinions, O my soul. Though shadows veil the verdant green, and distant seems the hallowed dawn, spread wide thy pinion evermore. Spread wide thy pinions and press on. And you aren't going to get it sitting still. You're going to have a heart that seeks and wants God's will this afternoon, next week, even so come. You can't just sit back, oh, I did this. You're never going to. God meant you to know and to grow. God, aren't you glad? Isn't that what a little child does? Want to grow up? And then we stop wanting to grow up. But God never wants you to stop growing up. That's why heaven's so awesome. Because you couldn't be there, you'd have to understand. Eternity is God's. That's God. And God, when can we exhaust your magnificence? You're like bugs and birds and colors and everything. God said, never. Never. Your whole life is to learn about who I am. And I want you to enjoy, underline, I want you to enjoy my wonderful person forever. And when do you want me to start? Now. Now. No, I don't. You got to believe. Oh, I don't believe. Then you won't have it. You won't have it. I don't believe I'm a new creature. I don't believe my sins are forgiven. Then you won't have it. It won't be yours. No, it won't. You'll forget it. Before you come out the door, it'll be all gone. Wow. But boy, it's there. And I don't want to be remiss that I did not every now and then remind you. Now we can do all kinds of one, and we try to, biblically, truth after truth, wonderful, wonderful truth, principle, promises, real, and we, page after page, Old Testament and New. But all of it, without what I just tried to help you with, is for nothing. All you do is have a big notebook. And all you'll be able to say, you'll be able to make some awesome comment about a verse or a principle, but you won't have the life. And it's about the life. That's why we like little children, because little children are so real. Humans aren't, you know. What do you think? What do you think about that food, you know? Then you think about it. And the little says, oh. And what do we say? Oh, it's good. Good. I've never had good food like this. Could I have your recipe? No. No. You got the idea. No, God, we just lose out. And I don't want to be, you can't say that all of these years, I have not told you. This is the first thing I told you on day one, 56 years ago. What can I tell you? People don't want that. They're going to have every excuse under the sun to get a, don't you believe it? Wrong. You better believe it. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Appreciate your patience and kindness and all of that. Our Father and God, we look to you with all our heart. Deal with us according to your good pleasure. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.